I really want to clear the decks for your calls this morning as well. Mark, morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts? 030-30-80-55-55. Go ahead, Mark.
I think Gregory's disillusioned. He's saying Sinn Féin's a man this, Sinn Féin's a man that. Am I not right in saying that a couple of weeks ago when Arlene Foster broke regulations and rules to stand and give a speech that every single member of our assembly walked out? It's not Sinn Féin demanding that she step aside.
And Arlene Foster didn't break any rules and regulations. The Speaker made a decision. The Speaker made a decision, and Arlene Foster respected the will of the Speaker.
Yeah, my apologies.
Okay, but tell me what you think of where this is at. And I'm really interested in asking all of you this morning, as listeners of this programme, what has happened? Will it change how you will vote? What do you want to happen next?
I spoke to a lot of people, and a lot of people that I know are changing how to vote. I'm probably going to change how to vote. I don't feel that we're voting anymore. This might bring out, might cancel the tribal politics that we've had in Northern Ireland, and people will start voting on how they actually their heart desires and not how their parents have told them or their area votes. People may vote based on the core issues, and it may be a good thing, but with Brexit and everything else, it's not really, because now we don't have a government as such. You know, everything's collapsing up there. All Ireland needs to do is step aside temporarily, prove her innocence if she's innocent, or accept the guilt if she's guilty, because nobody knows that yet apart from her and people involved in it. Peter Robinson's done it, and the thing was, this Sinn Féin stopped a vote of no confidence in her.
Okay, Mark, we're just losing the line with you. Go to Heather next. Morning, Heather.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Heather.
Stephen, I just want to say I am angry and I am disgusted with both of them. I'm a working class disabled person, and I just feel that while they are squabbling, you know, one side is blowing £490 million into the air. The other side, they said that disabled people's benefits will never be touched. They were against austerity, right? They are against austerity totally. Disabled people now are terrified about losing their benefits. Old people are lying on trolleys in hospital corridors. Old people can't get home because there's not a proper care packages for them. You know, while they are squabbling, the whole country is coming to its knees. And they're out of sync with what the ordinary general public are thinking. To my opinion, they are not fit to run this country. They're not worthy of people's votes, either of them.
Will this change how you will vote?
Yes, it will, because I've been a DUP voter since I was 18. I'm 54, and yes, I will be voting. I mean, I wish there was a people for profit in my area. If there was, I would be voting for them.
Why?
Because they have made a total cock-up of the government. They can't run the country. They're not even fit to run a bun raffle, never mind a country.
Sinn Féin would say that they have shown leadership.
No,
Sinn Féin would say that they have been trying to insist in getting the full truth out of what happened during that RHI scheme.
They're that busy squabbling. They're that busy going, you're wrong. They're not concentrating on bread and butter issues, the things that matter to ordinary people. They're not concentrating on that. They're concentrating, you said, I said. That's all they're ever good for. Concentrating on that, squabbling, fighting. People are sick of it. People want a different government, a different way of life here.
Thank you for your call. Uma caller next. Morning to you. 030-30-80-55-55. Morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you, Stephen? First and foremost,
okay, thank you.
I want to commend and congratulate all the journalists and the BBC, both spoken and written journalists, for bringing this to the public's attention. Now, I'm a little bit frustrated.
There have been many journalists, both within the BBC and outside.
Right,
Sam McBride strikes me immediately. Yes. Journalist for the newsletter
the
has been doing some fantastic work and in-depth journalism around this on behalf of his readership.
I said that. Both spoken and written, they have. As a matter of fact, Stephen, I'll go further. The real opposition in Northern Ireland, north of Ireland, whatever sympathises with your point of view, is the journalists. But hasn't for journalists, we the public still wouldn't know. So well done. Now, that's enough. Now, you have frustrated me a little bit, Stephen, in the fact that you invited us on. I want you to clear the decks on one of your shows, remove the lunatic politicians and give the public their say, so as that maybe, just maybe, the politicians will get the message of just how cross.
Well, you've got room now. Tell them how cross you are. Tell them how you're
totally,
feeling.
I am totally, absolutely and completely fed up with them. They are not the bosses of the people. They are the servants of the people. The servants of the people. They do not speak down to the people. They listen and they act to what the people have to say. And when our politicians get that message, we will start to make progress. I hope the people of Northern Ireland, north of Ireland, are listening very carefully. I hope we change our pattern of voting away from the tribal trenches and take a serious, serious look at what's good for the taxpayer and the electorate. Because what we have had up to date has not been good. We're going nowhere. We're going round in circles. I am very, very, very angry. Now, the election, I welcome it. I welcome it for one reason, Stephen. It'll give the public the chance to clear their throats and get it off the chest when the politicians start coming knocking on our doors.
But let's cut to the chase here of an active conversation that you know, and anybody who lives in Northern Ireland will know is going on right now. Historically, we know that a sizable amount of people in Northern Ireland have voted depending on the colour of their flag, okay? And it is not for me to say that's the right or wrong thing to do. Do you think that will change in this election? Do you think people will vote any differently because of what has happened? Will you vote differently?
I will certainly start looking at it, Stephen. I will certainly. I got my first vote at 18. I'm now 55. For the first time in my life, I am contemplating not voting along the tribal lines.
Can I ask you who you voted for?
I always have voted for Sinn Féin.
And why would you not vote for them again?
Because I think they have been weak. They have been very, very weak on this. But if I can go back to the point I wanted to make, Stephen, is the one thing I will say about this. It will give us the public. I would hate to be wearing the shoes of any of our politicians at the minute coming around on the canvas, because unless I am far mistaken, and I could be, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I could be mistaken on this. I think they will, regardless of how people may vote, you could say one thing and do it, but they will certainly know. They will certainly know by the time they return to Stormont or wherever we're returning to, just how angry we are.
Okay, thank you for your call. 0303 80 55 55. Thomas in Derry now. Morning, Thomas.
Morning, Stephen. Welcome back.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Stephen, my appeal today would be to the public out there. That man's just, he's quite right what he's saying, that the people have their opportunity now to clear their throats and vote. But my appeal today is for the 45% of people on average in Northern Ireland that decide not to vote every single time we have an election. So we have just approximately 55% of the electorate in Northern Ireland, people that are eligible to vote, that actually vote in our government. So we have almost half of the people out there, for whatever reason, decide not to vote. So Albert Einstein always says, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. So this is an opportunity for people to come away from this tribal sidelines or voting orange and voting green, and let's vote for people that will actually make a difference in our government.
Thank you for your call. I want you to pick up the phone today. You can bet your bottom dollar that the key players in Stormont will be listening to this programme. They will be wanting to get a temperature for how the public are feeling. How are you feeling? Who are you angry with? What do you want to happen next? Tell them. Use this platform. 0303 80 55 55. Maliki next. Morning, Maliki.
How you doing, Stephen? Fantastic programme, mate. No, listen to everything it said. You know, I work in the streets of Belfast and I hear what the public's saying. At the end of the day, you've got these parties arguing this and arguing that. But, we're going to hear somewhere down the line, they're going to throw in this, the old red herring, the petition of concern. And that alleviates anybody from blame. We had it with the Sky scandal with McCausland. We're now going to have it with the heating thing. You've got Campbell on, all the big hitters. You've got Gregory Campbell on, you've Jeffrey Donaldson on, you've McCausland on. You've got all these hard left unionists who want a Protestant Ulster for a Protestant people, and that's all they want. The power sharing.
Well, they would say that they want a lot more than that, wouldn't they? But just when you raise the issue of the petition of concern, and this is something that we will discuss over the coming days, there's a really interesting scenario coming up with the petition of concern. Okay.
Yep.
And it is this: it is enshrined in the legislation that you need 30. 30 MLAs, all right, to activate a petition of concern. Don't forget that there are going to be fewer MLAs this time. There are not going to be 108 MLAs. I think it's 90, actually, isn't it? And so, therefore, there is a question. Some people might want to vote who enjoyed the DUP using their petition of concern. Some people might want to vote for the DUP to make sure that they can continue to use that petition of concern if they want to. But equally, there might be other members of the public that see this as an opportunity to vote to try to achieve a position where the DUP do not have that key number of 30, or indeed any other political party has that key number of 30, so that they cannot use a petition of concern. Now, I know that sounds anarchy and technical, but actually, it's a valid discussion to have ahead of the next election.
It's a very interesting point you make, because that petition of concern is a get-out-of-jail card for all of them. Because anything that they do dodgy, or you'll not say the word dodgy, but I will, anything that they do on all their ministerial judgments, the petition of concern, at the end of the day, you've got that sitting on the back burner. If you're a poker player, you're sitting with that ace on the table, and you know you can play that at any time. And without that, these guys wouldn't be as cocky. You know, from where I'm sitting and what I hear in the streets, you know, the DUP over the last 5 years with the NAMA scandal, just what Sinn Féin actually said, with the Sky scandal, and then you had the wee reverend talking about the Muslims, and you know, we had the DUP. They've hedged everything down the line. And one point that I would like to make, which I've never made in this show before, I constantly hear, I'm not a Sinn Féin supporter by no stretch of imagination, but I constantly hear the DUP hard hitters being disgusted about being in power with Sinn Féin and their past. Well, I think what the public should realise is, when Sinn Féin took up government in Stormont, they had to axe their paramilitary wing, they had to put their guns away, they had to accept a British rule parliament in Stormont. There was an
What's
awful
your point? What's your
the point?
The point is,
the DUP, from day one, have never, ever dropped anything, only their no surrender cry. And my main point is this, do they realise how disgusting it is for a nationalist person, for Sinn Féin to be in power with them? Never mind the other way about.
Harry next. Morning, Harry.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I think we're starting to take our eye off the ball here, that this whole thing is about the heading scheme. Now we're talking about changes in government and elections and so on. The DUP were at fault, but the DUP apparently in the last few weeks have said they've come up with a solution. Why are we not hearing about the solution? Why are we not hearing about turning the top off of £85,000 per day instead of getting sidetracked into everything else? Let's give them a chance to fix the problem. You should be asking them, what is your solution? What have you come up with?
I think it did.
What are you doing to turn the top off? But you're not doing it. You're being sidetracked. Now we're talking about elections and so on. Give them a chance to fix it. Put them on the spot. And I speak as a DUP supporter. Put them on the spot. Let's see what they come up with.
Well, I think it did ask. I'll apologise if it didn't, but I'm pretty sure I did ask Gregory.
No, you didn't, Stevie. You're delivering everything else.
I'm pretty sure I did ask Gregory Campbell this morning. What is this plan that Simon Hamilton has?
Exactly.
What is it?
Yes. You ask them that. That's what I want to know, and everybody else wants to know. Give them a chance to put their plan to the public, and I certainly will judge them on that and vote accordingly.
But all I'm also saying, Harry,
and change
Harry,
the constitution, everything else, but the problem of dealing with the outflow of money. Let's put the DUP on the spot. Ask them what the plan is. Put it to the public.
Harry, thank
and,
you.
And
Sam,
have
next.
Input from all the other parties too.
Harry, thank you. Sam next. Morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Listen, we're getting hundreds and hundreds of your calls today. 030-30-80-55-55. Will what has happened, Sam, change how you will vote in an election?
No, it will not. Stephen, to be honest with you, the situation is what I'm looking at is whenever this scheme was set up and the whole lot was give the go-ahead, was the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister at that time not see all this here and have to give the go-ahead for it? So why all of a sudden have they spat the dummy out and decided to quit?
At the time the scheme was set up, the minister overseeing the scheme was Arlene Foster.
Yes.
That is a fact.
Yes.
and there were no cost controls put into that scheme. Then so during
to
the
give
time,
the go-ahead was Martin or whoever was the first minister at the time.
But the minister responsible, the Wet Works is the minister responsible is the minister responsible for the department. Now, Arlene Foster would argue that she wasn't told by some of the civil servants and some of the advisers, and she then subsequently argued that a whistleblower had written to her but hadn't included any concerns. Nigel Dodds then publicly said that a whistleblower had emailed Arlene Foster and had not included any concerns. The Nolan Show then revealed an email where actually the whistleblower had included concerns. So they were written to Arlene Foster in an email with concerns. And we've been over all of that. If you want to get all the detail on that, listen to past Nolan shows.
Right.
Here's
so Arlene,
where it's at.
So Arlene's
been
the guinea pig. Is that what you're telling me?
What I'm saying to you is Arlene Foster was the minister in charge of a scheme which has a £490 million overspend. She set the scheme up. Jonathan Bell was the minister in charge when the spike happened in the September, October, November period. Mr. Bell argues that he was prevented from closing the scheme by others within the DUP, and that is where an investigation needs to take place.
Right, right. So this is another scheme that the DUP has been caught out on. I have a scheme there which I totally disagree with, which is the bus lanes in Belfast. That's another scheme which I would totally disagree with. But it's not come to light. It's costing people millions because they drive into Belfast. The shops are losing trade because of people
Sam, thank
fined.
You. I can tell you this. We're not talking about bus lanes this morning. Emma next. Morning, Emma.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Stephen, I just wanted to make a comment really about something that we don't talk about. basically, I've never voted from the age of 18. I've had no interest in it. In general, that came from, you know, my parents. They kind of didn't really think there was anyone to vote for. And there are 42% of us that the political parties really need to start to focus on.
So what would get your vote? Like, what do you want to hear?
Sinn Féin do have a point that equality has been blocked by the DUP in Stormont.
But surely the DUP have a point that they have a political mandate. People know what their position is on the likes of LGBT rights, and they stood on that basis. We were well aware of what their views were on gay marriage before they went to the last election, and they got a huge mandate, Emma.
That is true, but I don't know. This is the first crisis in Stormont that isn't about a sectarian issue that I can remember. You know, and that there is a shift in attitude, I think. And, you know, there are plenty of people on Twitter, on other forms of social media now saying they're going to change their vote. Whether they do or not remains to be seen.
And isn't that the key question? We know how people historically will have voted in Northern Ireland, what some of their motivation will have been. Will people vote differently this time?
If the DUP continue to back themselves into a corner the way they have done with yourself on this show today, yes, I think so.
Well, why do you say they've backed themselves into a corner? They would suggest that they've articulated their position today.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
But how did you read what Gregory Campbell was saying today, for example? What was your take on it?
It gets to a point where you're articulating a position so much that it just deflects away from the fact that people are angry about this issue and are entitled to an explanation for why things have gone so wrong. This isn't the first time that this amount of money has been spent out of the public purse on things that have gone nowhere, but this scandal seems to be slightly different.
Emma, thank you. Morning to you. Damien next. Morning, Damien.
Stephen, how are you doing?
By the way, the reason that we have extended, and we apologise to Sian Coyle's listeners this morning, and thanks to Sian, the reason we're extending the Nolan Show, there is a massive public appetite to use this platform this morning for you, the people of Northern Ireland, to articulate your views. Please do so. Please use the BBC to do so. It's what we're here for. 03030 80 55 55. Go ahead, Damien.
Stephen, I want to congratulate you. You managed to get Gregory Campbell to slip up in an unguarded moment, gave away the whole game in one line today whenever he said to you, you're fixated on what went wrong. I think that line, more than anything, sums up the DUP's response to this whole thing. They want people just to forget about it. just go away. Don't hassle it anymore. We're not admitting we got it wrong. Just go away.
Well, the DUP would argue that they're not saying go away, that they're supporting a type of inquiry.
You're fixated on what went wrong, Stephen. That was Gregory Campbell's line. Stop doing that, Stephen. Stop harassing me. Forget about that. That's their attitude. That line sums up more than anything their attitude, this whole thing.
What would you say?
Stop hassling me, Stephen.
Well, look, just to reassure everyone listening to this programme, as I said at the top of the programme, we are not going away. We have, as we speak, over recent days and weeks, right over the Christmas period, we have been investigating the RHI scheme on your behalf. We're continuing to look at different angles of that story, and we promise you we will bring more information if and when we can.
Gregory doesn't like it, Stephen, does he?
So we are not being distracted by, you know, the reality that an election may be coming up. That is an interesting story, and it's a story we will cover. But we do have a team working on the RHI scheme. What happened? Who was responsible? We do have a team working on that, just to reassure you all. What would you say to the politicians this morning, Damien? Any political party you want to choose, what message would you send to them?
I think the lesson is you have to be fixated on what went wrong. We cannot afford to make mistakes of this magnitude. People have to realise that we have a limited amount of money coming from London, from a government that will cut it and cut it to the bone. And we can't afford to make mistakes, I guess. The last 10 years, we were used to kind of getting a scandal every 2 years. Now it seems to be one every 3 months. This has to stop. Like, I mean, people have to stop thinking. People talk about thinking black and white. Here they think green and orange. People have to stop thinking green and orange whenever they walk into the ballot box.
Will you change how you vote?
I have already changed how I voted. I used to vote along nationalist lines from the background I'm from. I no longer do that. We can't afford, for our children's sake, I have children growing up, going to university in the next few years. We can't afford for their future to do that. We have to stop thinking along green and orange lines. There are parties out there that could work together to give us a better future, and people need to wise up and start and vote for them.
So do you really think there will be significant amounts of extra people for the first time not voting along orange or green issues?
I don't know. I hope there are. I hope there are a significant amount of people out there who don't vote or haven't voted in recent years that realise they need to vote, that their vote counts, that without their vote there will be no change here. I hope they realise that and go and register and go and vote and make the difference this time. I think there are a big rump of people on both nationalist and unionist sides who will never change their minds, who can only think green and orange. But they're hurting their future, they're hurting their children's future.
Well, you say green and orange in a pejorative way. Of course, some people can interpret green and orange as their identity. Morning, Marty. Let's get your calls on air again now. Morning, Marty. Go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Marty. Very quickly for me. So I can get through lots of calls.
I'm ringing here on behalf of many victims across this land who, right up to last night, were very vulnerable. Myself and Margaret McGugan, we're speaking to them on the phone. We have a paper sitting in the OFM DFM's office that costs millions of pounds. We are expecting this report to be published by Sir Anthony Hart on the 20th of January. I want to call on Stormont to please not put victims through any more pain or suffering. They've waited long enough for this report, Stephen.
So who do you want? Who would publish it?
Well, Sir Anthony Hart has set a date for the 20th of January for this report to be published. We will be there at that venue on the 20th, but it's up to Stormont to implement his recommendations, and that's what victims are wanting from this report.
Well, Marty, what we promise we will do is we will chase that on your behalf, and we'll ask Stormont this morning what they intend to do. Thank you, Paul. Next morning, Paul.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Paul.
Felix and Naomi Long are coming up and saying the DUP lost their mandate yesterday. The DUP didn't lose their mandate yesterday. I'm a unionist voter. Not very popular with DUP, but I will be voting DUP. Next and Naomi Long coming on telling us, and also Sinn Féin, Stephen, telling the unionist people, for years, Sinn Féin's motto was, no preconditions before talks. Who set the preconditions now?
And George and Ballymena. Morning, George. Morning, George. George not there. Liam next. Morning, Liam.
How are you doing, Stephen? I just want to highlight the appalling arrogance, again, of Gregory Campbell, especially in relation to yourself and your show. Your show has taken a lead in highlighting the scandal, the absolute scandal of the RHI project. And yet, Gregory Campbell comes on, and what does he do in his own wee, slick-it way? He says, remember, Stephen, investigation is a two-way process. In other words, he is pointing the finger at you and saying, don't you be probing too far into our affairs or we will probe into yours. So in my estimation, that was your cards being marked again by the DUP saying, don't you be probing too far into our affairs.
Well, listen, let's just deal with that up front very, very easily. You'll pay me very, very well. As licence fee payers, you'll pay me very well. Okay? It's my job to ask the questions. I'll continue to ask the questions. Bottom line, don't worry about that.
No, I accept that there. But what I'm highlighting is the approach, the arrogant approach of the DUP marking your cards. That's what they were doing, Stephen. Whether you like it or not, that's what they were doing.
Well, there was a similar approach from Mr. Campbell, and I think it was a couple of days after that we interviewed both Jonathan Bell and Arlene Foster.
That's right.
I'll continue to do my job. Let's
and
leave it like
lady
that.
And George and Ballymena.
Thank you, sir. George and Ballymena.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, I'm probably
George.
One of the few people in Northern Ireland has some sympathy for Arlene Foster. First of all, as far as I can understand, all they were doing here was taking a scheme that was already running in GB and adapting it for Northern Ireland. Now, doing that, you would wonder, where along the line were the controls removed? Where did the civil servants not pick up on this? Did they not advise the minister that there were no controls? I mean, that's what their job is. Who removed the controls? Was it the civil servants? Was it the political advisor, or was the minister herself?
The key question remains. Don't get distracted by all of the noise. The key question remains that when there was an intention, because we know there was an intention, to remove the lucrative part of the scheme in September, okay, and then they extended it for another 6 weeks. Who extended it? Why was it extended?
Yeah, but that didn't cost £490 million to extend it for 6 weeks.
Half of all of the applications came in that six-week period.
I have heard all about that scheme. I'm an ex-civil servant.
That's the key.
I know how
that's
the key.
Works
in the civil service.
I'm promising you that is the key.
Yeah,
who did
line,
it? Why did it happen?
Somebody removed the controls from that GB scheme that apparently was working very well and didn't put them into the Northern Ireland scheme. What we have to find out is, were the civil service negligent here? Did they omit that?
All right.
I mean, they shouldn't have been because they were getting a copy of a GB scheme already running.
Okay, listen, thank you very, very much indeed for your call this morning. We'll be back on air at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning asking more questions on your behalf. You can continue to talk to us on our Twitter feed at Stephen Nolan.